Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, February 7th, 2021. Section A. NTO makes pitch virtually, by Ruth Campbell. Along with higher educational and life skills, students at George H.W. New Tech Odessa, NTO, say the school has brought them out of their shells and instilled confidence in them. NTO is currently recruiting eighth graders and has some spots for the upper grades as well. We started recruiting back in December, and the same as in the past, we host a series of incoming freshman parent meetings, Principal Gerardo Ramirez said. This year they were virtual. In the past, we were actually able to go to the middle schools and talk to the eighth graders directly in assembly. But because of COVID, assemblies are on hold, so we really did more through social media and Parent Link. We've hosted 5 meetings so far. We have 2 more upcoming, February 8th and February 17th, for any interested incoming ninth graders. We still have spots available. Spots are limited. Both of these meetings start at 6:30 and they are both on Google Meets, Ramirez said. He added that the information is also shared on the school's website and social media pages. 18-year-old seniors Sohila Abdelatif and Chanel Ramos and 17-year-old junior Christian Camarena and sophomore Kendall Mathis, 16, all make a solid case for MTO. I think I really liked that it was project-based school and we were able to learn how to strive in college, Abdelatif said. It's better than the classrooms. The classrooms are smaller because you really get to connect with your teachers and you get a one-on-one learning situation if you need extra help, she added. Ramos said her sister attended New Tech before her and had the absolute best experience. I really wanted to come and see what she saw in the school and go through the PBL, project-based learning process, and be able to get a better education, Ramos said. I think it really does feel like family, Ramos said. We know each other very well. We know how we are, and it honestly just feels like a family. That's the best way to put it. Camarena said there is a lot of opportunity at New Tech for students. It has an open environment, has plenty of technology, and is a welcoming campus. There's a possibility you can get an associate degree here, he said. Mathis said if she was going to pitch New Tech to an eighth grader, she would tell them it teaches you life skills that you will need in the workforce, such as being able to get up in front of a group and make a presentation, collaborate with students around you, and how to be seamless in technology, be able to get those things done. It can also bring you out of your shell and teach you how to work well with other people, be able to just be a leader and not only push you academically, but push you further toward your goal, Mathis said. Math facilitator Jennifer Nunez and English 1 facilitator Angelica Gutierrez are both in their 4th year at NTO. The project-based learning really empowers them, Gutierrez said. Students are more in control of their own learning because of the way the projects are designed. It's not like the traditional classroom. So, like they mentioned, they learn how to work with others. Nunez said teaching math, she doesn't get to do as many projects, but she likes the smaller class sizes and the ability to help students if they need it. I think it challenges the students, the learners, to be out of their comfort zone, Gutierrez said. When they first got here, they're not expecting to have to get up in front of a class and put on these presentations. They're graded so differently as well. Their oral communication and written communication, it forces them to really grow in all these different areas and to collaborate with as many different students. Ramirez noted that another thing that sets NTO apart is the ability to travel to Odessa and Permian High Schools for university interscholastic league activities such as sports, band, orchestra, choir, and theater. And there are buses that run throughout the day to make sure you're there on time and getting to do what you want to do. It's just a really good opportunity to have a well-rounded education, Mathis said. Ramos said she is taking the neuroscience course. It has been a really cool experience because we've been able to work with people from other universities, she said. Part of the project includes helping to write a research paper. We're learning about the brain and all the neurons and all that stuff, so it's really exciting because we are the only school that offers it, Ramos said. She said it was kind of difficult at first, but overall it's been amazing. We literally can zoom into the brain, and it's really cool because you don't know what your brain looks like. We're looking at fly brains, and to look at those fly brains, you're like, it's really like crazy because you're, oh, that's what brains look like up close, Ramos said. Ramirez said applicants usually hear in about a week. Once students apply, he said New Tech requires a parent meeting. This year, Ramirez said New Tech has about 440 students in 9th through 12th grades. We have some spots available, not too many. We want to cap it at 150 incoming freshmen. And if there are some interested sophomores for next year, interested juniors, they're welcome to apply as well. We do have some who start later. We have that capability as well, Ramirez said. Stringer starts service with Resolve. Recently sworn in commissioner promises budgetary restraint and trash cleanup. By Bob Campbell. New Ector County Commissioner Donald Lawrence Don Stringer was raised a blue-collar Odessan, and he expects to take that approach to his work in Precinct 3, which includes most of the city. A native of Hobbs, New Mexico, who has been here since he was 3 years old, Stringer wants to be as frugal as the other commissioners and back the county's cleanup of illegally dumped trash, among other goals. Referring to his late father, Burton Rowe Stringer, Jr., who owned an oil field service company, he said, "I'm an Odessa boy to the bone. I was raised blue-collar and hardworking, and that's what Precinct 3 is. Dad always thought being a commissioner would be a good gig, helping the country, helping the county, and so forth. When I learned that Dale Childers was retiring, I said it was time to get off the bench and get some skin in the game. Quit talking about it and do it. I hope to control the budget and make sure there is no frivolous spending, which is all the commissioner's main goal. When I was campaigning, I truly thought we'd get a new courthouse, but now I don't see that happening in the near future due to COVID, the downturn in the oil field, and the negatives we have going against us. I don't think the funds will be available anytime soon." Stringer graduated in 1985 from Odessa High School, where he played center field on the Broncos baseball team, attended Odessa College, was aroused about, worked on pulling units, drove trucks, and worked for his father before going to Tulsa, Oklahoma as a debt collector and Auburn, California to work in a sawmill. Following another stint with his dad, he sold bearings, coupling belts, pulleys, power transmission components, and other equipment for Motion Industries for 7 years. "I was out driving a delivery truck south of the interstate when I stopped at a stop sign and saw a faded old real estate sign of Nell Brown Associates and thought, I'm personable. I can do that," he said. I called Nell as soon as I got back to the office, and she said to enroll at the Southwest College of Real Estate in Midland. I went there the following Monday, and I got my license September 1st, 1997. He worked 3 years for realty broker Virgil Trower, spent 10 years selling new homes for Gary Whitehead, and returned to Trower and Associates, where he will stay on the staff. Stringer and his wife, Sean, have 2 daughters and 5 grandchildren. His late mother's name was Lena Marie. He has a brother and 2 sisters and is 53. Noting in late January that he was on his way to a week at a new commissioner's conference run by the Texas Association of Counties at Texas A&M, Stringer said, "I have a lot to learn, but I'll be accountable for my decisions. I certainly hope to pick up good pointers in College Station. I will serve honestly and humbly." Each Ector County Commissioner makes $60,218 per year. Stringer said former Foreman Electric owner Vern Foreman, a lifelong friend who was a city councilman in the late 1970s and early 80s, gave good advice when he learned of Stringer's Republican primary candidacy versus carpet and flooring company owner Jeff Russell. Vern told me, "I've got to be thick-skinned and listen to my constituents. And when somebody comes to court wanting money, to ask why, he said. Having attended West University Church of Christ since he was 5 and serving for many years as the church's principal song leader, Stringer said, "My philosophy is faith-based. I had the privilege of going to Odessa Christian School as a small boy, and I believe a kid gets his or her morals developed by the time they are 7 or 8 years old." Explaining that he strayed from his religion in his teens and early 20s, Stringer said, "Satan has a job to do, and he does it well. But if kids have those ethics and morals instilled at an early age, they'll come back to those values as adults." Asked his view of state and national issues, he said, "We need conservatives in office, and we need to get rid of a bunch of the regulations on oil. Republicans are more energy friendly, and the Democrats just aren't on it. Being a realtor, the only thing I have to offer is service. If I give the best service, I get referred, and I have more happy customers. Being a county commissioner is a lot like that. I give it my all, and when people tell me they appreciate it, it's as good as a $100 bill. A pat on the back goes a long way." Trower said Stringer is a really good salesman who tries to treat everyone fairly and honestly. "I hope we helped Don get elected, and I think he will make an excellent commissioner," Trower said. "He fooled a lot of people because he got a good percentage of the votes, 958 votes, or 55.96%. He can handle both jobs because you can set your time in real estate." Trower said Stringer will look at everything and analyze. "Don won't go off and do a fast decision," he said. "He meets people well, and he will take the books home and study them." Trower said Stringer won the primary with no Democrat in the race because he had been in this area for a long time, and people knew what kind of a person he was. "He didn't have an agenda," he said. West University Church of Christ treasurer Benny Cowan said his wife, Colleen, succeeded as a realtor in Midland for 20 years because, like Don, she never thought about the commission. She just tried to match people up with the house they wanted. "Don is a guy you could sit down and talk with for 2 weeks, and he'd sit and make comments about it," Cowan said. "He is the kind of friend you look for all your life and sometimes never find. When you're a family man like him, all you think about is how to please your family and provide for their needs, and he definitely does that." Cowan said Stringer is a talented song leader who puts a lot of effort into that, too. "You can tell he rehearses, but he has been doing it for so long that he could probably lead every song in the book." Righting a Wrong on display at OHS. Having just wrapped up a display at the University of Texas Permian Basin Library, Righting a Wrong, Japanese Americans and World War II is going on display at the Performing Arts Center at Odessa High School. The exhibit is based on Japanese internment camps in the United States during World War II. It features a Smithsonian poster exhibit, said Anna Martinez Katzum, Professor of History, Department Chair, and Graduate Program Head of the UTPB History Department. The various posters are going to highlight different things, things such as how did it happen, why did it happen, what's democracy, especially as this is going on, Martinez Katzum said. She said the photos bring the story home. Again, you need the written word to provide that information, but when you combine it with a visual, when you see the camps, when you see images of the camps, or when you see images of Japanese veterans, it adds another dimension, Martinez Katzum added. Last fall, UTPB provided a traveling exhibit on the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. We started off with the suffrage exhibit. That's when the Smithsonian and the National Archives had closed due to COVID. And so you have the closure of those institutions where individuals couldn't go and see those exhibits, Martinez Katzum said. Part of why we decided to do this is that we knew the vast majority of students here in the region were never actually going to go visit the National Archives or the Smithsonian, so they wouldn't be exposed to these wonderful exhibits. It was a way for us to bring the exhibits and the information to the region, to the students, to the schools. She noted that most people probably don't know about the Japanese internment camps in America. I think it's extremely important as the nation is grappling with issues of democracy and justice inequality. It's important for us to understand what took place in the past. And this is one of those moments in history that oftentimes isn't focused on, she said. When she brings up the internment camps, she said students are stunned. Still in the process of scheduling the exhibit for different schools, Martinez Katzum said its next stop after OHS may be the UTPB STEM Academy and the Young Women's Leadership Academy in Midland. The art department and history department are really enthusiastic about this project, she said. If there are any schools interested in having the exhibit on campus, they can contact Martinez Katzum at history@utpb.edu. West Texas Wrestler Signs with WWE by Royal McGregor. West Texas professional wrestler Kurt Stallion returned home to Crane after the coronavirus pandemic halted events throughout the country. Stallion, whose real name is Cameron Rogers, could only watch his contract with Evolve slowly dwindle as days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months. According to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, Stallion had 3 matches between March 8th and October 7th. He had totaled more than 70 in 2019, nearly 60 in 2018, and more than 50 in 2017. Stallion said during a phone interview January 19th that he received a phone call from an unknown number while he was visiting his best friend's tombstone at the cemetery in Crane. That phone call would change his life, as it was from the WWE. It was one of those moments that you see in a movie, Stallion said. I was flabbergasted. I didn't know if it was real. I was dumbfounded, really. After it set in, my eyes started to water up, and I knew this was for real. Stallion said the cemetery is within walking distance of his grandmother's house, so he ran back to tell her the news. He said at first his grandmother didn't believe him, but he reassured her this was happening. On October 7th, WWE issued a press release that it had signed 8 new recruits, which included Stallion and his future tag team partner Anthony Green aka August Gray. Stallion had previously worked for Evolve, a feeder system to WWE, since 2008. Stallion said he was told by officials at Evolve, which included one of its founders, Gabe Sapolsky, that they were recommending him to WWE. Stallion admitted it was a long shot, and he still can't believe it to this day. "So many things in my life have gone so wrong at so many times," Stallion said. "For this to actually work out, my mind is blown." Stallion, a graduate of Crane High School, began his professional wrestling journey with the Odessa-based promotion Old School Wrestling in October 2012. Stallion said he still credits the late Fred Urban III, who died in October 2018, for his professional wrestling success. During the interview, Stallion said he wishes Urban could have shared the joy in signing with WWE after the longtime promoter took a chance on him. "I can only thank Fred Urban, God rest his soul, for having that Odessa training facility," Stallion said. "I owe so much to Fred. I wish he was still around to see all of this." Stallion was quickly put on WWE program as he found himself on 205 Live, which is specifically for wrestlers who are 205 pounds or lighter. On November 13th, Stallion won a gauntlet match to become number one contender for the NXT Cruiserweight title. Stallion was defeated by NXT Cruiserweight champion Santos Escobar on the February 3rd episode of NXT. Stallion also teamed with Gray in a losing effort to Killian Dane and Drake Maverick during the first round of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. "I'm so fortunate that I got to start there," Stallion said about starting on 205 Live. "NXT is so heavily produced, and 205 Live isn't as produced as NXT. NXT is very meticulous, and they have to get everything down for live television. It's very professionally run. I commend those guys." Though nearly 1,500 miles separate Crane from the Capitol Wrestling Center in Orlando, Stallion said he's always reminded of home. He said his theme music, titled Suburban Mexican Standoff, mimics a song from a Clint Eastwood movie, and the ring announcer bills him from Crane. "It's always one of those things that I hear it as it happens when I'm walking down to the ring," he said. "It's that little smirk that splats on my face of pride." Local News Roundup. Valentine's Day Dinner. Pride Center West Texas has scheduled a Valentine's Day dinner with Amore from 7:30 to 10 p.m. February 14th at St. John's Episcopal School, 401 North County Road West. For tickets or for information, visit www.pridecenterwt.org/event-details/V-Day or call 432-242-2023. ECRW event. Ector County Republican Women has scheduled a VIP patron event with special guest Lieutenant Colonel retired Alan West from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. Hors d'oeuvres and drinks will be included. Cost is $25. Registration is required, as space is limited. To register, visit www.ecrwodessa.com/luncheons. Obituaries for Sunday, February 7th. Manuel Raul Manny Madrigal, Jr. Manuel Raul Madrigal, Jr., 78, of Midland, passed away January 30th in Odessa. Manuel Manny Madrigal was born in Wilmington, California, to Manuel and Basilisa Madrigal, September 29th, 1942. He is preceded in death by Manuel and Basilisa Madrigal, Alicia Madrigal, Anita Lopatinsky, and Gloria Madrigal. He is survived by his wife, Lydia Evaro Madrigal, his son, Manuel David Madrigal, Corky, Ramon and Marina Madrigal, and stepfather to Anthony Torres, John and Monica Butler, Remy Torres. Funeral services will be private. Memorials may be given to the Family Center of Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine in Midland. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa. Sarah Lou Watts Carver. Sarah Lou Watts Carver, 80, of Odessa, passed away January 16th. She was born in Fort Worth, September 5th, 1940. To Obi Lynn and Luna Mae Watts. She married George William Carver in 1961. Sarah was preceded in death by her parents and her brother Wayman Lynn Watts. She is survived by her husband George, sister Mary Redman, son Don and wife Cindy of Amarillo, son Kyle and wife Sharon of Odessa, 4 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. Services are scheduled for Wednesday, February 10th at 1 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa. Clinton B. Mesker, Granberry. Clinton B. Mesker, born November 12, 1934, to Pauline and Ormond W. Mesker in West Orange, New Jersey, passed away due to complications from COVID-19, January 28th, at the age of 86. He married Mary Gay Gilliam in Tomball in 1958. He is survived by his wife, 3 daughters, 2 sons-in-law, 5 granddaughters, 2 grandsons, and 5 great-grandchildren. A private family memorial in Clint's honor is currently pending. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to the Lutheran Church of the Risen Lord in Odessa or Disabled Veterans of America. Marlon Scott. Marlon Scott was born August 1st, 1944, and passed away February 3rd. He is survived by his wife, Lisa, and many children and many grandchildren. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 9th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Evelyn Lorraine Rauscher. Evelyn Lorraine Rauscher passed away January 23rd in Fort Worth. She was born in Grafton, West Virginia, September 10th, 1926, to Alva Burt and Eva Leland Miller, and she was one of 6 children. She married James G. Rauscher in 1947. She is survived by her son, James Bill Rauscher of Dallas, daughter and son-in-law, Janet and Steve Thompson of Fort Worth, a grandson, and numerous nieces and nephews. The family requests memorials be directed to James L. West Dementia Care Center, 1111 Summit Avenue, Fort Worth, 76102, or St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Odessa. Mass will be held February 10th at 11 a.m. in Holy Family Church in Fort Worth. A burial service will be February 11th at 11 a.m. at the DFW National Cemetery. Mary Lou Shaw. Mary Lou Shaw, 94, of Odessa, passed away Friday, January 29th at the Courtyards Assisted Living and Memory Care Residential Facility in Odessa. She was born in Brownsville, Tennessee, May 28, 1926, to Earl and Sarah Hamlet. She married Billy Nibb Shaw in 1948 in Abilene. She was preceded in death by an infant son, her parents, her husband of 57 years, her son Earl Shaw, her sister and brother-in-law Joanne and Joe Lowry, her husband's sister and brother-in-law, Martha and Eddie Cornelius, and her husband's brother and sister-in-law, John and Betsy Shaw. She is survived by her daughter, Ruth Ann McQuitty of Odessa, son Billy Shaw and husband Jimmy Hill of Garner, North Carolina, and daughter-in-law Brenda Shaw of Odessa, three grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Visitation was held Sunday, February 7th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home Chapel. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, February 8th at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery. A memorial service will follow the graveside service at 11 a.m. Monday, February 8th at First United Methodist Church with Pastors Jay Armstrong, Karen Carlson, and Jody Wallen officiating. Services are entrusted to Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Masks should be worn and social distancing maintained at the visitation and memorial service. Memorials may be made to First United Methodist Church or a charity of choice. Death notices. George William Carver. George William Carver, 82, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 6th in Midland. A funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Wednesday, February 10th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will be held privately. Julian Daniel Garcia. Julian Daniel Garcia, 20, died Thursday, February 4th. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Martin Martinez Marquez. Martin Martinez Marquez, 62, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 2nd. A funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 9th at Iglesia del Camino. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section, with Pastor Humberto Porras officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Dolores June Hickman Richmond. Dolores June Hickman Richmond, 86, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 30th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Joe Kruger Turner. Joe Kruger Turner, 73, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 28th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 8th. Odessan diagnosed with rare syndrome. Permian dance teacher discovered rare disease while pregnant. The story was written by Royal McGregor. About a week before Christmas, 25-year-old Odessan Courtney Branscombe felt a tingling sensation in her toes that she likened to a hand or foot falling asleep. That tingle sensation continued to worsen over the next 4 days. On December 21st, Branscombe visited with her OBGYN as she was 20 weeks pregnant. Branscombe's OBGYN referred her to Dr. Abdul Qadir. A day later, she saw the neurologist and was quickly diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. Quote, "From the first day that I felt symptoms, which was December 18th, through December 22nd, it started with my toes tingling, and then it moved into my hands and lower extremities, said Branscombe, the dance associate director at Permian High School. Quote, by the time I finally saw Dr. Kadir on December 22nd, it was getting significantly harder to move, and I had a lot of muscle weakness in my arms and legs. I was barely walking by the time I saw Dr. Kadir. End quote. According to the Mayo Clinic, Guillain-Barré syndrome is a rare disorder in which a body's immune system attacks the nerves. Weakness and tingling in extremities are usually the first symptoms. These sensations can quickly spread and eventually paralyze the whole body. Guillain-Barré syndrome affects around 20,000 people in the U.S. each year. Branscombe told the Odessa American that she was never fully paralyzed, but she did need help standing up. Quote, I was really grateful that I was diagnosed so quickly, Branscombe said. A lot of people are misdiagnosed and told that it's a sciatic nerve or all in your head. I was really grateful that my doctors took me seriously. If you know something is off, you have to be an advocate for yourself and speak up about your concerns and find medical professionals that do take you seriously and are looking for those answers. End quote. Branscombe said she was hospitalized on December 22nd and was released on December 27th. She said she received 5 IVIG, or intravenous immunoglobulin therapy treatments, over those 5 days. Due to constant heart monitoring, Branscombe said she was placed on the 8th floor, where no visitors are allowed. Branscombe wasn't able to have any visitors over Christmas, but she said she received plenty of phone calls and messages during those 5 days that she was hospitalized. Quote, while I was there, so many people that I love reached out, Branscombe said. I never really felt truly alone. End quote. Branscombe also detailed that Guillain-Barré syndrome didn't affect her pregnancy. Since she has been out of the hospital, Branscombe said she has been doing 4 hours of physical therapy a week, plus an hour and a half of occupational therapy. Branscombe said that it could take anywhere from 6 months to a year to be back to normal. She also said that she is using a walker for support right now. Quote, I believe my timeline will be shorter than 6 months to a year because I have seen a lot of progress since beginning physical therapy, Branscombe said. My baseline is also different from the normal person because not only do I have to walk again, but I have to be able to dance again. I have a lot of work cut out for me. End quote. Branscombe also explained that Permian High School officials have understood her having Guillain-Barré syndrome. She said the 4 sessions of Dance 1 that she teaches at Permian are being taught by other instructors. Though she hasn't been able to teach those 4 sessions of Dance 1, Branscombe said she has been able to coach Permian's color guard. Branscombe said overcoming Guillain-Barré syndrome has taught her never to take anything for granted, especially going up and down stairs. Quote, it's been a really wild year anyways with all of the virtual learning, she said. Quote, Permian has been accommodating with whatever they can do to help. It has been a huge blessing. End quote. Also, in the time after Branscombe was hospitalized with Guillain-Barré syndrome, she started a blog that details her journey back to normalcy. She adds to the blog once a week. Branscombe said she hopes the blog can document what is happening in the present so she can remember in the future. Quote, I want to document what it was that I'm going through because there will be a time when this is just a memory and this is just something really crazy that happened to me, she said. I want to remember those small victories that I accomplished day to day and where I want to be. End quote. Heart Health Month. This was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. Despite most of our attention in healthcare right now being centered on the COVID pandemic, the number one killer of Americans is still the same thing it has been for as long as I can remember, heart disease. According to the latest data from the American Heart Association, over 850,000 people die from cardiovascular disease each year. That is more than all forms of cancer and all forms of lower respiratory disease combined. That alone is an issue, but there is more and more data out there showing that when the final statistics come out for heart disease-related deaths in 2020, it's going to be worse. The reason is COVID. But not for the reason you think. Yes, people who have heart disease are at higher risk for severe symptoms with COVID, but the bigger reason heart disease deaths are up in 2020 is people with heart disease aren't seeking care. One of the things that we asked in the early part of the pandemic was, where have all the other patients gone? We just weren't seeing the same numbers of people for things that are not related to seasonal illnesses like the flu. One of those things was heart attacks. The worry was that people were still having those problems, they just weren't seeking medical care until they were in big trouble. Unfortunately, those worries have shown to be true. In a study by physicians at Beth Israel Deaconess in Boston and Harvard University, researchers found that in 2020, deaths related to ischemic heart disease, such as heart attacks, and high blood pressure significantly increased after the pandemic began in 2020. In New York alone, deaths due to heart attacks increased by 139%, and deaths related to high blood pressure increased by 164%. These numbers were similar in many other states as well. The other frightening statistic is that there was a 5-time increase in the number of out-of-hospital cardiac arrests and deaths in 2020 after the pandemic began, and over that same time period, a 58% reduction in people showing up in hospitals with heart attacks. Basically, that means people who should have come to the hospital did not. Instead, they stayed home and they died. The researchers very much believe that people are afraid of catching COVID-19, and so they are not seeking care, even when seeking care would save their life. The researchers hope that their findings show that not seeking care for fear of COVID is just as dangerous, if not more so, than not seeking care. According to the American Heart Association, some heart attacks are sudden and intense like the ones you see dramatized on TV, but most start slowly with mild pain or discomfort. Call 911 if you experience chest discomfort, particularly if it is in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, though it can also go away and return. Chest discomfort is often described as pressure squeezing, fullness, or pain. Discomfort in other areas of the upper body, like one or both arms, the back, the neck, the jaw, or the stomach, can also signal heart problems. Shortness of breath with or without chest discomfort, cold sweats, nausea, or lightheadedness are other symptoms someone having a heart attack can experience. I cannot stress enough how important it is to seek care if you think you may be having a heart attack. Don't let COVID deter you from seeking that care. You are at far more risk of dying or having permanent damage from not seeking care during a heart attack than you are for getting COVID while seeking care. When you seek that care, please call 911. The amazing people at Odessa Fire Rescue can actually start diagnostics and treatment as soon as they get to you, which means if you are having a heart attack on arrival to the hospital, the healthcare team is able to stop it as quickly as possible. Studies show that the faster a heart attack is diagnosed and treated, the less likely it is to cause permanent damage or death. Plus, it's just not safe for you to drive, or for a loved one who is worried about you to drive, the road will not get the attention it deserves.
Hello, this is Michael, reading additional articles from Inside the Odessa American, published Monday, February 8, 2021. Local News Roundup. Virtual Author Series. Midland College and the Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center have scheduled a virtual author series featuring author Rebecca Manley at 7 p.m. Tuesday via Zoom. Manley will discuss her new book, Alexandra and the Awful, Awkward, No Fun, Truly Bad Dates, Picture Book Parody for Adults. News anchor Tatum Gwynn will join us as the event moderator. Event link, https://bit.ly/gaps-2-9-21-event. Registration. https://bit.ly/gaps-2-21-reg. Raffle. https://bit.ly/pbalc-2-9-21-raffle. Bustin' for Badges. Bustin' for Badges has scheduled the 2021 Clay Shoot fundraiser benefiting local law enforcement April 15th and 16th. Registration is now open for sponsorships at bustinforbadges.org.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Breakfast bread induces half-day snooze fest. Dear Dr. Roach, why do I feel sleepy for almost half the day whenever I have bread for breakfast? This only happens when I take bread. I'm an 18-year-old female. AB. Answer. There are several reasons. Bread is made up mostly of starch, which in turn is composed of long strands of sugar molecules linked together. Your body breaks these down quickly into sugar. Some breads are made of whole grain, which contains fiber and protein. These somewhat slow down the absorption of starch. Other breads are highly processed and raise blood sugar levels as quickly as if you were consuming pure sugar. As the body responds to this sugar load with insulin, the blood sugar level comes down quickly, and for many people that is associated with fatigue. Any food will tend to switch the body from a sympathetic state, often called fight or flight, to a parasympathetic state of rest and digest. This also will tend to make a person relaxed and sleepy.
Man calls the shots in love life of her middle-aged son. Dear Abby, for Monday, February 8, 2021. Dear Abby, my husband died 11 months ago, and I thought I was ready to date. I dated a guy I'll call Ken for 6 months, but things went south because it felt weird. My question is it normal for a 57-year-old man to still be living with his mom? Abby, Ken's mom said bad things in front of me. She told her son that if he's going to have sex with me, he might as well live with me. We never had sex. Another time, she didn't want me to wear shorts, hold Ken's hand, or even sit with him at their house. Why? Do I need help? Youngish widow in Illinois. Dear widow, a single man living with his mom is unusual, but not necessarily abnormal. Ken's mother's behavior, however, was not normal or acceptable. The extent to which this man's mother controls his dating life is over the top. Apparently, she perceives you as a threat, and she doesn't want to lose her 57-year-old son. You don't need help. She does. So does Ken, who appears to be her hostage. The tie that binds him to her may be emotional or financial, or those apron strings would have been severed decades ago. Dear Abby, my friend and I are planning a road trip. We live in different parts of the country, so he'll be flying to my city where we will start the trip. We plan to split the cost of car rental, gas, and hotels. However, I was assuming that he would pay his own airfare, and he was assuming that we would split it like everything else. What's normal in situations like this? Is it normal to pay one's own airfare and expect costs to even out in the future when the other person flies to you? Or is it normal to split the cost each time? The road trip isn't at risk because of this, but I want to set the right precedent for future vacations we take together. Road tripping in Iowa. Dear Road Tripping, this is something you need to discuss further with your friend. Do you consider his getting there a part of your shared vacation? Or do you feel your responsibility begins when he arrives? There are no hard and fast rules about this, and frankly, I think it depends upon your financial situations. Dear Abby, my husband passed away unexpectedly. It was and is a tremendous loss to my two daughters and me. While writing my thank you cards to individuals who attended his viewing and church service, I noticed someone had written Mick Jagger as attending his viewing and Rod Stewart as attending his church service. I was floored and deeply hurt when I realized the handwriting belonged to one of our pallbearers, my husband's sister's husband. Our teenage daughters also saw it, and they told me they thought it was disrespectful. I don't know if I should tell my sister-in-law or let it go. I want to ask him why he would do such a thing. Or am I overreacting? Hurt in Texas. Dear Hurt, no, you are not overreacting. What your brother-in-law did was, to put it mildly, insensitive. A funeral memorial book is the wrong place to attempt a bad joke. By all means, tell your sister-in-law about it. And when you do, be sure to mention how it affected you and your daughters. You all deserve an apology for his inappropriate behavior. Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Monday, February 8th, 2021. Powerfully psychic, magnetic, and conceptual, you're able to convince others of different realities. This year, you succeed through more than one project, and you're in the right place at the right time. If single, your psychic abilities don't help you in your choice of mates. You need a good give-and-take balance in an equal relationship, found in 2022. If attached, you have a sacred, meaningful relationship. Aries has a temper. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th, 4 stars. It's best to postpone innovations at work today. Tradition is upheld now. Older or more experienced people offer the best advice and examples. Today also reveals how others love and depend on you. Tonight, you experience heightened intuition relaxing at home. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Today you are on the go. An online virtual visit to a school, library, or learning center illuminates and uplifts you. Imported foods or ethnic clothing are enjoyable. Tonight, you'd appreciate an exciting and imaginative companion with whom to share adventures. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. Today adds a possessive, intense note to love. Your earnings will increase. Material values are balanced with respect to the intangible riches, such as love and a healthy life. Tonight, share a bit of humor and be understanding with your nearest and dearest. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Allow others freedom and recognize when a relationship must move and grow. Today smooths communications with a pleasant sextile aspect. Gather information and be a good listener. Listens to the motivations of others. Tonight, an awareness of what true wealth really is. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 3 stars. Keep your schedule and environment wholesome today. Use a fireplace, bright lights, and hot drinks to chase away gloom and chills. A few extra hours of sleep is the best gift to give yourself. Tonight, did you know lions sleep 20 hours a day? Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 5 stars. You can make a difference for the better in the lives of those you care for, especially in the case of younger people. Today brings clarity in understanding your deepest loves and attachments. Tonight, you'll feel vital and creative and years younger. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 3 stars. Family members take an interest in your professional success. Be open-minded about new trends related to your work. Make repairs and organize the household to generate domestic harmony. Tonight, acquiring security and generating more income will be in your thoughts. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 3 stars. Today makes you restless. New places and new ideas would refresh you. Purchase a couple of newly published books or vary the routes you travel and see the neighborhood from a different perspective. Variety is a must. Tonight, catching up with a sibling or neighbor. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 4 stars. You will be protective of people as well as possessions you're attached to. You're aware of what money can and can't do and what you value most. Today concludes with an awareness of how the meaning of money is shifting. Tonight, do some private journaling. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 5 stars. Today finds you in the midst of major changes in self-awareness. Your willpower is increasing, and you are more daring and purposeful than ever before. In many ways, you're going through a renaissance. Tonight, get into shape slowly for yard work. Don't overdo it. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 5 stars. There are schemes and subtleties involved in communication past your way. Get both sides of all stories before making decisions involving others. From deep inside your subconscious comes an array of visions and daydreams. Tonight, these can be inspiration for your creative work. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 5 stars. Closer friendships develop with people you meet through vocations or advocations. Plans are discussed for the future with a focus on humanitarian, scientific, or metaphysical goals. This is all very exciting for you. Tonight, continuing deep into the night.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.